If you brought a Bible with you today, you might want to open them now to the scripture for the day, followed by the message I have prepared for you. You'll turn to Luke chapter 17 for this morning. Luke chapter 17. I'm going to speak to you this morning a message entitled, What Happened to the Nine? And of course, you almost immediately we're able to discern that the scripture and the message that I will be preaching has to do with the 10 lepers that were healed. I try to, before every message that I'll bring to you, give some sort of introduction or illustration that'll give meaning and significance to the sermon I'm about to preach. This is an important time of the message in which you listen closely to the illustration because it'll set the tone. Here's the one for today. A teacher in a primary Sunday school class was teaching the story to her children about showing appreciation for other people, how to give thanks, how to express that thanks. And she was, in contrast, giving the story of ungratefulness, what happens when we're ungrateful. And when she finished that lesson, and the children were about ready to go, she said, "Now all of you bundle up real tight. It's really cold outside. And put your coats on and zip them up and put the scarves around your neck because you don't want to be like that one little boy who disobeyed his mother and went out for a sleigh ride. He didn't warm himself up by taking his jacket or his scarf, and he caught the flu and died." And the children looked with amazement at that story. When she had finished, she was rather proud as a teacher of what she had taught the children that day, until one little boy came up and said to her, "Teacher, I want to know what happened to the sleigh, and can I have it?" Sometimes, if we aren't careful, we'll completely miss the point. The same is true with the passage of Scripture that is in front of us. And I'm going to relate a passage of Scripture to you in just a moment that is a passage of Scripture that illustrates hearts that are not appreciative of what the Lord Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. So in your Bible, come to the 17th chapter of Luke and go down to verse 11, and here's what it says. "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee." And that's important, and we'll come back to that in a moment. "As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out with a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy,' in the King James Version, or 'have pity on us,' in the New International Version. And when Jesus saw them," when he looked at them, in other words, eye to eye contact, "he said to them, 'Go show yourself to the priest.'" And listen to this. "And as they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." And all the people said, "Amen." This is the reading of the Word. Now I want to speak to you around this passage of Scripture this morning from 4 different perspectives. I want you to notice these 4 things because all of them are relevant to what goes on in this passage of Scripture. Notice that there is a need, there is a request, there is a requirement, and there is a provision. Already, as a Christian believer, you begin to see how that relates to our lives as Christians and the pilgrimage we have come through from the time we were converted until this day we come to the house for worship. So we're going to go through each one of these in detail, and I'm going to share it with you as the Lord gives leadership. Are you ready to go? All right, here we are. Let's talk, first of all, point number one. Notice that there is a need that all of a sudden comes to light. It is revealed. The scripture says that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. We can reasonably assume that what happens after this, we have just been celebrating during Good Friday services, during Palm Sunday, and during Easter. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And as he is on his way to Jerusalem, the scripture says that he encountered 10 individuals who had leprosy. You read about this. Let me take just a brief moment and describe to you the horror of this disease. Of all the diseases and ailments, leprosy was considered to be one of the worst in the days of our Lord Jesus. It was a horrible thing. It was a disease that, first of all, affected the skin. And sometimes the skin would become so festered that ultimately raw sores would break out. Some people feel that when Job and his suffering was infected with all of those sores, that it was a type of leprosy. But nonetheless, it was a horrible thing. And as the disease in the life of a person who had this disease progressed, their fingers or their toes would fall off, and their face would become disfigured. And in the time of our Lord Jesus, people who had different types of physical ailments were considered to be unclean. But even worse than that, they were said to have committed some sort of sin that brought that ailment on them. You remember on one occasion when they were passing along, they met one with an ailment or handicapped, and the disciples said, "Did that man sin or did his parents sin?" And Jesus said, "Neither. It's not about sin. It's so that the Lord may be glorified in that." But the leper was banned to privacy, to a community in which they were to live only among other lepers. And as people passed by on the street, those with leprosy were by law commanded to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And everybody in the community knew those people were not to be touched. Those people were unclean. And probably it was some sort of sin in their life that had brought that uncleanliness. In the contrary to that, this disease not only brought them a sense of community living in which they all were band together in one place in their embarrassment crying out unclean, but they were also rejected by other people. It is true that one of the most psychological damaging things in human life is to be rejected by other people. We all like to be accepted. It bothers us when we feel that folks are rejecting us. You've had that feeling. You walk by someone and you want to speak to them or embrace them, and they sort of turn their head upward with their nose in the air and completely reject or ignore that you're even in the place. This is the way it was with the lepers. And as Jesus is passing by, they cry out, as the scripture says, in a loud voice, "Oh, Jesus, Master, have pity, mercy on us." That leads to the second point, the request. Notice in this passage of scripture that Jesus is traveling, as the scripture says, on the road between Samaria and Galilee. Now I want you to visualize this in your mind. He's traveling on the road between two different geographical locations. Over here is Galilee, and over here is Samaria. Do I need to take the time and tell you about Samaria or the Samaritans? Why, they themselves were rejected. So here you have rejected among the rejected. How horrible is that? Rejected among the rejected. I want to be a word of encouragement to you today. Sometimes Christians feels that the whole world is rejecting us. That they just don't think that we're relevant at all. Sometimes we get the sense of feeling that the message of Christ and the church of our Lord Jesus is so irrelevant and out of place and so misplaced that we don't matter to anyone, especially to the world. And I want to say to you that the opposite is true. The opposite is true because we're the ones that carry the banner for the world. How can we ever expect the world to change? And it's not going to, but how can we ever expect the world to change if we, the very people of the Son of God, do not make a stand and make the statement, we are not the rejected, but we are the accepted ones. For Christ so loved us that he gave himself on our behalf. And the scripture says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so, their request was pretty natural. But you know what else the request says to me? That they had a recognition of who was passing by that day. On the road between the Galileans and the Samaritans is Jesus the Master. And he's the one that carries in his bosom the mercy for the world. My grandmother Callie, Lord, I wish you knew her, and I'll be telling you a lot about my family over the course of these days, but my grandma Callie lived over in Cambria, Virginia. Now it's a part of Christiansburg. Brother and sister Crowdy have a son that pastors Cambria Baptist Church. In fact, that was the church I was saved and baptized in. And Grandma Callie lived out on Montgomery Street. And she was a unique little character. She stood about this tall, but always wore a smock and a bonnet. Now, you kids probably don't know what a smock is, do you? How many of you older folks know what a smock is? And women used to wear those, and she wore a bonnet. And she was one of those little ladies that when she spoke, everybody listened. And whenever she felt that something was going wrong, my Grandma Callie would cry out, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on my soul and body king." And I never knew what the last part meant, but I knew what the first part meant. "Oh, Lord, have mercy on my soul and body king." And she'd cry that, and those words still are impressed, seared into my mind. And that's how the lepers are crying that day. "Have mercy on us, Master Jesus, have mercy on us." They recognized what the Galileans didn't recognize. Isn't it interesting how many times you read the stories of our Lord Jesus and he has encounters along the way with the Samaritans? And never did he demonstrate to them rejection, but always acceptance. Because Jesus died for them too. And so with their request, they cry out, "Oh Lord, have mercy on us." In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, that is the whole list of the Beatitudes. And in that list of the Beatitudes, one of them is, "Blessed are the merciful, for you know what they receive? Mercy." So if you show mercy to somebody else, and you may not believe it, but if you demonstrate mercy to somebody else, then ultimately you're going to receive that back. "For they shall receive mercy," according to the Scripture. And what are the other options besides showing mercy and pity? Well, the Lord could have walked on by. He could have said, "No, you're an infected one. You've got leprosy. You get back to your cave with all the rest of the lepers. You get back to all the rest of the unclean people. Or you can come to me." Or you can cry out for the mercy that all the world needs. It never will grow old, thank the Lord. As long as this earth stands, the world will still need the mercy of our Savior. And that's not just for lost people. Don't you know, as a Christian person, of times in your own life where you have had to ask the Lord for mercy? Lord, I don't understand this thing that's going on in my life. Why is this happening to me? And the Lord is a merciful Lord that wants to bless your life as He's blessing mine. So we've had the need which has come to life. There are 10 lepers. We have the request, oh Lord, have mercy on us. And thirdly, there is a requirement. Notice they get a little tougher as you go along. Now comes the requirement. And Jesus said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. In Matthew 5, 12 through 14, you might recall that there's another story of a leper that comes to Jesus. In verses 12 through 14 of the 5th chapter of Matthew, instead of Jesus giving them the command, he actually goes over and touches the leper in Matthew chapter 5. Well, that's one thing you didn't do. That's one thing you didn't do. The mindset of the Jewish community was not only the leper being unclean, caused by some sin in that life, but whatever you do, you don't touch the leper. Because they first of all thought maybe that this disease they would catch, but they were to stay away from all things unclean. And we ought to be careful sometimes, Christian brothers and sisters, because sometimes we act like that. Sometimes we act that other people are just not quite up to par as far as our standard is concerned. And we don't reject them like a leper, but rejection is not something any of us want. But we want mercy and acceptance from each other just like we want it from the Lord. The greatest act of mercy that you've ever experienced in your life, my friend, is what He did for you at Calvary's cross. That which we have already celebrated this morning. And so, with every request comes a requirement. With every invitation comes a response. With every sermon comes a listening ear. Every time we worship, or at least while I am blessed enough to serve you, we'll have an invitation. Because there may be people that are crying out to the Lord. There may be people who have a deep-seated need in their life. And so the requirement is to come. The two most important words in all of Scripture is to come and to go. And Jesus says, come to me, all of you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so that real important word is only followed in kind by the words go. And the last words or commandment that Jesus gave to His disciples is that as you go, make disciples of all creatures, teaching them to observe all that I have given unto you. And I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So the requirement was one that required two things on the part of these lepers. He says, go and show yourself to the priest. Go was the word of our Savior. Show yourself to the priest was the requirement of the law. If a person felt that they had been healed from their ailment, whether it be leprosy or some other kind of disease, they were only considered to be clean again when the priest gave his sanction and blessing upon that life. Now, friends, that's not the role of this man. The role of this man standing behind the desk is simply to give you the word. And when you listen to the word and then go to the Savior, He's the one that does the rest. I cannot heal anybody of my own strength. I can only do as the Lord leads me to do, and neither can you. Somebody asked me one time, well, now, preacher, don't you believe in healing? And I said, did the Bible believe in it? Did the Bible teach it? Did Jesus do it? Yes, yes, yes. Then I believe it. But I'm only saying that I only function under the power and authority of the Lord. And when Jesus says, you go, that's His word. Show yourself to the priest, that's a requirement of the law. But here's the important part of this story. It says that as they were going, can't you just see them? They're marching off in total obedience, and in an act of faith, they're marching off, all 10 of them, and the scripture says that as they were going, they were marvelously and wonderfully healed. Listen now, getting close to closing, but I don't want you to miss this. We are here today as Christian believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by His marvelous grace and mercy. And watch, listen, we have been saved if we're Christians today. But look at this. We're in the process of being saved. Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's not a doctrine of works. That's a doctrine of Christian living. We are being saved daily by the authority and mercy of God. And guess what? And we shall be saved. And one day He's coming back to take His church. And then we'll really be saved then. We'll exit this world. And we'll stand in the awesome presence of the One who gave mercy to the 10 lepers. And the scripture says, as they were going, wow, they were healed. But then point number 4, there is the provision. As an act of their obedience, on the way, they were healed. Faith produces more than we can ever imagine. Our prayer should not be, Lord, give me more faith, because obviously we all want that as individual Christians and as a church. But Christ said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And some of us have just enough faith to get saved, but not enough faith to keep on and on and on, keep on living the Christian life. We have enough faith to come to Jesus and by His shed blood to bring salvation to us, but not enough faith to walk in the light as He is in the light, to have fellowship one with each other. One of the great demonstrations of the kind of faith the church has is how well we get along with each other. Did you realize that? People of faith are one in the same because we're saved by the same Savior. He died for us all. We're baptized by His same blood. And we all come up out of the water, all of us resurrected into new life. And that requires faith. And so as they were moving along toward the priest, they were saved. In conclusion, notice what's happening. Here's what it says. And the conclusion of the message is both sad and happy. It always is like that, if you really think about it. It says that when one of the lepers looked at himself, he suddenly realized, the scripture says, he saw that he was clean. The scabs are gone. The fingers that had dropped off because of this horrible, excruciating, painful disease is now gone. And he's cleansed. And isn't it interesting that when he realizes that he is clean, he doesn't go on to the priest, or at least the scripture doesn't say he does. He may have. But the scripture says that he went back to Jesus and with a loud voice begin to thank him and to praise him. Now, this is a picture of the Christian life. What I've given to you this morning is a picture of the Christian life. My life and your life. They had enough faith to be saved, but they didn't have enough faith to live in thankfulness. Two options. We are either a people saved by His grace that are living in thankfulness, or we are a people, Christians, saved by His grace who are living in unthankfulness. Well, isn't there a middle ground there, Pastor, that you'll give me? No, I didn't write the Bible. I just preach it. We're either people that are thankful and live a life of such, or we're people that sporadically may be thankful, but we're not living that way. Now, they had enough faith to be saved, or we do, but not enough faith to live and tell the Lord every day what He has done. Before we ever get up and start asking the Lord and making our petitions to Him, we need to get up very first thing every day and say, Lord, I just want to pause right here for just a minute and thank You for what You've done. And the Scripture says that this old boy came back to Jesus and praising Him and thanking Him in a loud voice. And the sad part of it is that it says, but this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus says, were not all 10 healed? What happened to the other 9? I wonder what happened to them, don't you? Maybe they went back to their previous businesses. Maybe they went home to the wives and the kids and said, look what's happened to me. Maybe they filled out an unemployment request and applied for new jobs. I don't know. Where are they? We all wonder, what happened to the 9? But the Scripture says one of them, a tenth, came back to Jesus and praised the Lord. May that never be our percentage, personally or as a church. May we be a people of thankfulness. And Jesus said, most important part of it all, He said, rise up. See, the man has fallen down before Jesus. And Jesus says, rise up and go. What's the two most important words of Scripture? Come and go. And Jesus says, rise up and go. What has made you well is not so much what I have done for you, but the faith that is within you. Powerful. Now, where is your faith today? Doesn't have to be big, huge. It's not about a quality, but it's about quantity. And the quantity of your faith availeth much. And the quantity of your faith will make a change in your life. And the quality of your faith will move mountains. And that's true for you as a member of this church, but it's certainly true of the church in its entirety. Church, where's our faith? It is the faith that sets us free. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, how marvelous it is to know that there You are when we cry out to You, offering for us mercy. And so, Lord, today there may be one who needs to come to You in some way or the other. That being the case, You're here. You're waiting. And as You're waiting, Lord, You're teaching us that the gift of Your forgiveness is for those that will receive it. And so, Lord, I pray that You will work inside of us as individuals and work inside of us as a church, and that, Lord, you would so demonstrate your mercy that we would recognize it and come back thanking and praising you for it. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.